Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since I've no place to go, I'm turning on my Nintendo. Because I've got a Christmas parcel for a princess in a castle. I really hope I'm in the right one. I get to the finish to find the bitch isn't in it. Mario, Mario, Mario. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping. Frickin' princess's castle hopping. Another level to get through. I bet she isn't in here too. The woman tries my patience, never stays in one location. I really couldn't give a crap. She can stay locked up in there and starve to death for all I care. Mario, Mario, Mario.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. You look extra festive today.
Why, thank you. I am in the festive mood here for our festive special. No, wait, that's with Chalet. This is our Christmas special.
Wait, are we sponsored by a major corporation now?
No, not even a little.
Oh. Well, Doghouse is major, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's true. I was saying no to Swish LA.
Yes, for sure.
So this is the Gamers in Christmas special. So welcome, everyone. We are currently on holidays, which is why I don't have any video. I am at my parents' house currently, and they have dial-up. So you get my lovely voice, but not my lovely face. So I apologize. But if you are watching the video stream, then I do look very festive. It's a picture from last year, Christmas morning, with my festive, sparkly Santa hat.
Oh, that's from last year?
That's from last year, yeah.
Oh, Gamers Inn, going back in time.
So what we're going to talk about, it may be a shorter episode tonight, but we are going to talk about all the games that we are playing that have done Christmas-type theme things. So whether that is a world event or a skin or what, we are going to get right into it, starting off with Animal Crossing, which I think both Ryan and I are playing. Is that right?
That is correct.
So I'm having the same problems with Animal Crossing that I've always had with Animal Crossing.
Right.
I don't get that freaking game.
See, this could be a conversation we have until you get over that hump or you quit, which, again, I understand if you did, because I was having this conversation with Quoted Nevermore. I put a tweet out there like, I need to sell some peaches, stat. And she let me, you know, go into her town. I sold some peaches and you know, it seems like a game that is right up your alley. Like, it has, you know, festive events every couple months. There's events going on at least once a month for, like, fishing tournaments and stuff.
Right.
You know, there's collecting, there's, you know, building, there's farming. I mean,
I know. It's
crazy.
It completely seems like it would be right up my alley. It's got elements from, like, SimCity, it's got kind of like time type management stuff, it's got events, it's got holidays, you know, but I don't know, I think
it's just the grind. I mean, you get it, like,
it's so much awkward work. It's,
yeah,
like you can only hold like 12 or 15 things, well, I guess kind of 12 things, because your shovel and your fishing pole take up spots in your inventory. So you have a really small inventory. So you can only go and like harvest 3 or 4 trees, and then you have to run all the way back to the recycling shop, and then you have to go and run back to the trees and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm just like, oh, I have to do more trees? Like, oh.
Yeah, it has definitely got those awkward Nintendo, you know, which might have been a limitation when they built this on the N64 before it was ported to the GameCube. Those might have been technical limitations, but now we know that you can build inventories of immense size on a 3DS or on a Wii U. And I bet you any money, I bet you 200 Nintendo points, which have been, you know, no longer exist, which is nice. But I bet you that amount of money that when the Wii U launches with their Animal Crossing game, it'll have the same limitations. And you know why? It's because Nintendo is stuck in this you know, they have a design document that they put together for Animal Crossing 10 years ago, and then they just rip out the back three pages and slot in like, oh, in New Leaf, you get new stuff, this new stuff, but everything else stays the same. You know, that seems to be their sort of, you know, and you just kind of, you know, there are slight improvements with like inventory hotkeys and stuff like that. But no, I feel you, you know, it would make perfect sense to be able to stack the fruit automatically. That's something that doesn't happen. Most people probably don't even know that that's something you can do.
You can stack your fruit?
Yeah, you can stack. Like, you're probably running around, it's like, great, I got 9 peaches, my inventory's full.
Exactly, I have to go into the recycling store to empty my inventory.
Yeah, so you can drag those peaches onto each other and have them in stacks of 9. Why that doesn't happen automatically? Mm. I mean, when you open your backpack to fill it with stuff, you don't, like, put every individual item in and then, you know, oh, wait, I can stack those pogs inside this little container. I don't need to have them all over the place.
Mm.
Pogs, remember?
Yeah, because I thought when I bought the turnips, they stacked into stacks of 10, and I was like, oh man, I wish everything did this. Ah, oh, the chat room is freaking out as well, saying you can in all caps. Like, oh man, I did not know that. So that would make the grind a little bit. But can you stack things like unidentified fossils and things too?
No, you cannot stack fossils, but do you know what you need to do when you get a fossil?
What?
Okay, well, you need to take the fossil to the museum, have the guy analyze it.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
But yeah, so what Animal Crossing is actually doing to be festive, it's snowing right now, and all the pine trees have Christmas lights on them that blink, and so there's the snowmen. So there's like these random snowballs that you can find, and then you kind of like push it all around and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you can stack two, one on top of the other. And then he gives you a bingo card, and every day he generates a number, and I assume something good happens if you get bingo. But I built the snowman, and then I did the bingo, and then I came back the next day and did the bingo, and then I came back today and it was gone. And I was like, where'd my snowman go?
Oh, did it melt, maybe? Did it melt, maybe? Did I lose you? Oh, I did. Wah, wah.
I can hear you. Can you not hear me?
Oh, sorry. You cut out there for a bit. So you're saying that your snowman disappeared.
Yes, my snowman disappeared. He is gone. I can no longer bingo. And I've been trying to build a new snowman, but I can only ever find one snowball at a time. So I roll up the snowball and I make it really big, and then I, you know, leave and then come back later and my really big snowball is gone.
Well, oh, wait. You, I tried to build a snow. I've been trying to build snowmen in front of my house just to have them there. And I left a giant snowball there and then like closed the app and like quit the game, and it was gone when I got back in. So you have to like build the snowman in one play session.
Oh, you can't like half build it.
No, and I built one, and he didn't do anything special. He just said, "Man, if you had built my balls a little smaller, I might be a boy." And I'm like, "Whoa,
what?
That is too much information, good sir." It's like it's weird, and it's one of those like the great thing about Animal Crossing is they don't really tell you what you need to do. Like, I built a snowman, great, but the guy, like, the snowman's hinting at like, I guess if I build him a different way, he'll do different things.
Oh, really?
Mine gave me a bingo card. See, mine didn't do jack shit. He just said, like, you know, I could be a better thing if you had made me differently. I'm like, okay, thanks. Blame me, not genetics. Like, it's not fair.
I thought that they had to be a certain... I thought the balls had to be a certain size, but otherwise you couldn't stack them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a big ball, and then I had a slightly smaller ball, and I stacked them on top, and he instantly turned into a snowman. I mean, he's a talking snowman. I figured he'd give me something, but no, he just is a smart ass.
Yeah, so I made two big ones, as big as they would go, and put one on top of the other, and then I got a bingo card, and then I got two numbers, and then now he's gone. And every time I try to build another snowman, I can't, because you can't half build a snowman, apparently, which is lame.
Well, I mean, I went to, in Quoted Nevermore's city, and she's got, like, three or four snowmen, and there's, like, some in, like, states of melting, and you can still talk to them. It's actually a little creepy, you know? It's
like, I feel like Animal Crossing is really creepy, and people are talking about how creepy it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's creepy, and, you know, I built a police station, so hopefully that takes care of the riffraff that have been running around.
You have riffraff?
Oh, yeah. Riff and raff are just... One's a moose and one's a penguin, so they just they just tear shit up. It's ridiculous. But besides the snowman, I guess there's like a reindeer running around that you can catch named Jingle. Have you seen Jingle yet?
I have not seen Jingle.
Okay. Now you notice like the trees are all decorated and stuff, which is nice and festive. I almost chopped down my cherry tree beside my house and put up an evergreen so I would have Christmas lights near my house. I bought a Christmas tree today in game. That's what I did. Went to the shop, got a little Christmas tree. I put it up. Now my house is all festive.
Oh, I don't have that.
Now you need to upgrade your house so your shops will upgrade, right? Because you still have like the first shop.
No, I have the second one. So I have a convenience store with like a slidey door.
Okay, so then yeah, you should maybe get one eventually. There's still time.
I got my first fortune cookie.
Oh, good. What Nintendo item did you get?
I got the Big Bill Blaster. So, do you remember, like, the Bullet Bill from Mario?
Yeah, I do.
Yep, so I have his cannon thing. So every once in a while, a random Bullet Bill just flies around my house.
Nice. Well, that's cool. You need a Triforce and a Master Sword.
I know.
You'll get there. You know, what other stuff... The bulletin board said today that it was tonight was like the winter solstice, like the darkest night of the year.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that'll be interesting. I don't know if I'll be able to remember to boot it up, but I guess like, oh my God, I completely forgot. I told Beatrice that I would let her into my house at 5:30. God, she's going to kill me. Man, I hate when I do that. Do you ever do that with your guys yet?
Different than like any of what?
Have you done that with your guys where they'll come up to you and say, hey, I want to go to your house, and they prescribe a time?
Yeah, that was what I was saying a couple of weeks ago where, right. Like, the random zebra guy came up to me and was like, hey, I want to come in your house. And I was like, okay, and then tried to change the time, and he was like, oh, got all mad at me and stalked away. And I was like, eh, you were creeping me out anyway.
Yeah.
I just met you, and you want to come in my house?
So I guess I messed that up, but... Yeah, I might check that out tonight and see what's up, because those events certainly like are interesting. And I mean, if you were to play Animal Crossing just randomly any day, like just once in a while, yeah, it's a boring game. But I mean, if you pay attention to like the events that are going on and say, okay, I need to log in on this day to experience this content, mm-hmm. The game sort of becomes more interesting in the long run as opposed to I'm going to play the crap out of this game until I beat it.
Right.
Like comparing Link and or Zelda and Animal Crossing, they're very different. You play them very differently.
Can you actually win Animal Crossing? Like, is there a point when you get the biggest possible house or, you know, the best possible item?
Well, I mean, you can certainly win by completing the game in the sense that you can get every upgrade on your house. Now, mind you, at this point... they've added so many upgrades to the house that you can pretty much build a mansion. And other things you can do is collect all the like the bug, like the museum stuff.
Right.
So like the bugs, the fossils, the fish, and that gets you like golden instruments. So you can get gold shovel, gold axe, gold fishing rod. But I mean, those are just like achievements, really. Like they don't really do anything for you.
But, I see.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting game. And I think on... Not that... I always thought it was weird that with Animal Crossing, it's like, man, I can't wait to play on Christmas Eve or on New Year's Eve. It's like, I want to experience that content, but something about flipping open my 3DS on Christmas Eve when I should be paying attention to, like, you know, where I am, like, with family members and stuff.
Family, yeah.
It just always seems so antisocial to me.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, there's definitely going to be something going on Christmas Eve, but as adults who somewhat try to fit in the real world, you know, are we going to be able to, you know, play Animal Crossing on Christmas Eve? I don't know. I mean, We'll have to see.
Other than, oh, whoops, wrong button. stupid Mac. Other than the 3DS, we've both been playing other mobile titles on. Right. I play on my iPhone. What do you play on?
I play on my iPhone because my iPad is in need of replacement.
I see. So I've been playing Simpsons Tapped Out, but actually, I want to hear about what you're playing. You've been playing Tiny Death Star. So what are they doing in Tiny Death Star for the holidays?
So Tiny Death Star, as I can't remember what we talked about on the show, but it's like basically Tiny Towers, but Star Wars.
Right. And I don't know if we actually talked about it on the show. It might have been a quick news. I didn't realize you were actually playing it.
I've been playing it nonstop. Like, it's super addicting. And basically, it's like you run a Death Star and you build levels. You either build shops and apartments, which go up, or you build, like, Sith levels, which go down. And the Sith levels allow you to, like, build items towards quests. And then, you know, the upper levels are basically Tiny Tower.
So I see.
Yeah, so Christmas is basically, all the music has, like, that jingle to it, you know, like the jingle bells kind of in the background, which is nice. It really fits in really well. And
I'm downloading it right now, just so you know.
Oh, Tiny Tower?
Tiny Death Star.
Oh, Tiny Death Star. Yeah, sorry. It's really cool. The Christmas stuff is mostly cosmetic, but also in a sense where you collect certain levels. So basically what happens is, like in Tiny Tower, you'll get special guys that come to your elevator and you need to use them. So what comes is a holiday decoration droid, and you take that droid to a specific level to decorate, and for each level you decorate, it adds to a tally, and when you get to a certain amount of levels decorated, you get a reward.
Oh.
So far I've collected the coin reward and the special Boba Fett reward, so now Fancy. Boba Fett shows up in, like, his Clone Wars outfit, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's... it's interesting. It's like Animal Crossing. The Christmas aspect to it, the holiday aspect to it, is a layer. It's not like an extra level. It's more like a layer on top of what you're already doing. Right. I assume it's similar to Tapped Out as well. I mean, it's just like another layer on top of what you're already doing.
Somewhat. Actually, what I really like about the way that The Simpsons Tapped Out incorporates all holidays is that they actually give you, like, new characters and quests and things to do. I mean, they do also do the thing over top, so right now it's all snowy and all the trees have lost their leaves and all that kind of stuff. But then there's also, you know, different outfits for some characters, different not necessarily playable characters, but some playable ones. And then they give you quests and things that you can do. And you can also, like, at Halloween, it was when you go to other people's Springfield, then you would try to rid the town of ghosts and then release gremlins. And what the gremlins did is they went around and they stole the currency. So then you had to log into your Springfield and make sure that none of your friends had put gremlins in your town, because then they would steal all of your goo. So that's what it was. When you killed the ghost, you got goo, and that was the currency for the event. So the currency for the Christmas event in Tapped Out is gift cards.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you have a holiday Christmas tree type thing, but this year it's all made out of metal. It's Claus Co. is trying to make up for the fact that Bart, being so naughty, totally threw the naughty nice list for Springfield way off. So it's like trying to make up for all the lost years that Bart's been in Springfield. Because basically Santa just thought that all of Springfield was naughty because of Bart. So basically this metal Claus Co. tree spits out gifts every, you know, however often, like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I can't remember. And then you have to open the gifts and they all have gift cards in them, or they have gift bags. And the gift bags you can go and place in your friends' towns, and then they open the gift bags and they have bonus gift cards and stuff like that. And it's actually, what I've noticed with the Simpsons one so far is, compared to previous events, you can get things very quickly. Like, the currency adds up really fast. Like, I haven't played it really all that much. I've played, like, maybe 3 times since the event started, just for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever, just enough to go around to friends' towns and do things. And I got, like, the first 2 out of 10, things have unlocked for me in terms of rewards for the event. So, I mean, it's happening pretty quickly, which I really like. I hate it when I feel like I can't do things fast enough, which is what happened at Halloween.
Yeah, I'm experiencing the same thing with Tiny Death Star. Like, I like a free-to-play game where I don't have to check on it every second, you know? Like, Tiny Death Star feels like you could do that, but it takes 10 times as longer to progress if you do it that way. The best way to play it is to literally have it and just sit there and process it, you know, just keep plugging in like you're doing your taxes on an old school calculator. It's it's ridiculous. I mean, so I'd much prefer a free-to-play game where I can, you know, do all my stuff, put it down, and come back to it in a couple hours. Okay, everything's cleared up. Let's manage this. You know, that's my my fun kind of free-to-play game. Mm-hmm. This Tiny Death Star is kind of like, I feel like I have to keep processing it. But you aren't punished when you leave it for like 4 or 5 hours. Like, I'll leave it overnight, obviously. And then when I wake up, everything's sort of done. And I've made a bunch of money. But in order
and
to get the holiday,
is the same.
Yeah, that's true. I did play Tapped Out for a bit, so you're right. Like, I mean,
the
most
thing I like about
like that.
Yeah, the thing I like about Tapped Out, and I'm sure that the Tiny Death Star is the same, is that it takes something I'm already familiar with in The Simpsons, so it has the kind of sense of humor that I know I'm going to like, and they're very witty with it, and they, you know, like, are very aware of the fact that they are in a game. It's actually, sometimes it's really funny. Like, I mean, the characters in, like, The Simpsons themselves are aware that they're in a game sometimes, and it's funny to, like, you know, when they break that fourth wall. And, it's really, really fun because it's this known quantity, and I want to see what happens to them because their characters I already care about, so you don't have that, you know, having to get somebody invested in it right from the start sort of thing in the first few minutes, because otherwise they're just going to stop playing, so... I don't know. I'm really enjoying it, and I think that Tiny Death Star is probably the same. And it's a little bit more involved than what I think Animal Crossing is doing with the holidays, because there's this extra gift card mechanic, and there's all these different things that you unlock. Like, I mean, the first reward was like a proper Christmas tree, which I actually already had from the Tapped Out event last Christmas. But I'm trying to remember what the second thing was. Oh, the eggnog bar was the second thing that I unlocked. So. You know, like, it's all these little things throughout the course of the event. So it's a little bit more involved than what Animal Crossing is doing, but not nearly as involved as WoW.
The World of Warcraft.
The World of Warcraft.
Just in case someone thought you were just being really enthusiastic.
So, yeah, actually, I did play a little bit of WoW. Were you able to get in and try Guild Wars 2 before I go too far into the WoW world?
Oh, I can pretty much sum up Guild Wars 2 in about 2 minutes, and and it won't even take that. I'll take a quarter of that. Guild Wars 2 is a MMO that I have not played in over a year, so I'm pretty sure you can guess what happened. I logged into my 3 different characters, and I couldn't figure out how to get to the Christmas content.
Oh, no!
I couldn't even figure out how to open my quest log. And, I mean, people are probably could be listening to this who play Guild Wars and, like, Ryan, there is no quest log. You need to Google to find out how to get to this holiday event. Now, I was kind of excited to play the Guild Wars 2 event content because I've played the WoW stuff to death. So I was looking forward to something different. And I got the email. The whole reason I thought I would try Guild Wars as opposed to an MMO I'm more familiar with, like Final Fantasy 14. The email said, like, outlined all the stuff you could do for Christmas, and it looked fantastic. There was, like, talking snowmen and snowmen monsters, and, like, just... I might give it another shot this weekend if I find some time, because I actually am interested, but couldn't find it. Like, the little quest was up in my, like, you know, in my overlay or whatever, and I tried clicking on it, wouldn't do anything. I looked at my map, and there was no, like... pointer.
You should go here.
I felt so stupid, and I was just like, I'm gonna quit before I get too down on myself.
There's probably people like yelling at their iPods right now going, oh my god, Ryan, all you had to do was go here, there, and the other place and click this thing, and then you would have been in.
Well, for those people who are screaming and yelling, please bottle that rage up into a DM or a tweet or @reply or even an email and send it to me, because I do want to try all this stuff out before Christmas hits. Because I find, I was trying to think of like holiday traditions that I do, you know, as opposed to what I did as a kid. And I think a few of those that I've added over the years include doing podcast holiday specials. Mm-hmm. So like this, I actually had this thought on the Citadel Cafe that we were both on this week.
Yeah.
And I thought that doing holiday podcast specials was kind of like a new tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And another tradition that I'd like to add is playing these games that we've been talking about, like exploring holiday content in these little titles. And Guild Wars 2 is just being a Scrooge. I mean, give it up, man. Come on. I want to play that snowman level. I don't know. But what's going on in WoW? Did you get all your achievements? I'm dying to know.
No, I didn't. Oh. So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, obviously, the internet here is not so great. So I'm going to be doing my best to try to get some of those. But basically, what WoW does is, obviously, with all of their major world events, which are part of the Long Strange Trip achievement, which is what I've been trying to get. Mm-hmm. So almost all of their world events have a new boss every time, usually housed somewhere in an existing dungeon, and it's holiday themed. So the boss in Midsummer is the ice guy, because he's like, grr, summer, I hate summer. And then, you know, in, I guess this one is, actually I haven't played the boss yet, but, there is a reindeer named Metzen who needs to be saved, which is obviously a little bit of an Easter egg there, because that's, Chris Metzen is the WoW guy. So
I think I remember doing that. You save him from like a group of Yetis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one thing about WoW is that they kind of set these events up 5 years ago, and they haven't really changed, have they? Like, do we know
they haven't changed much? The bosses scale with each expansion, so you have to be max level, whatever the expansion is, which is what I realized in Midsummer, which was what kept me from riding the achievement train in July, is because I wasn't max level at that time, so I couldn't queue for the boss. I was like level 88. So you can queue at 89 and 90, and so the boss scales up. But also, at least with Christmas, which is one thing that I do like, is there's different rewards every year. So there's the you get a gift, which I'm pretty sure is part of a daily quest, and then so you can unwrap the gift, and it has a random chance to have certain objects inside. And there's things like since they've started the pet battles, there's a lot of vanity pets. There's like last year I got an achievement for it, actually. It was the pigskin, which is a football, and what was the other one? Soccer ball, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the pigskin and the something else. I can't remember the names of it, but then it said that like the achievement was something along the lines of they're both balls, or you got all the balls, or something like that. And it was the 2012 Christmas achievement.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact wording around it, but something like that.
So what are you missing? Did you do the PvP stuff?
No, and that PvP stuff is so difficult, because it's, well, first of all, I mean, it requires a faster connection, so that's why I don't think I'll be able to do it. All the other stuff I think I can do. Even the boss fight should be fine, but in PvP, what you have to do for the PvP achievement is that you have to go to this, goblin, or it might be gnome, either way. I think it probably depends on whether you play Horde side or whether you play Alliance, but you have to get yourself changed into Santa's little helper. So you turn into a gnome. Mm-hmm. And you're dressed in this little like Santa suit, and you run around in PvP, and you have to get 50 honorable kills in order to get your achievement while you're dressed as a little helper. But as soon as you die, you lose the costume. So then you have to continue whatever PvP thing you're doing. And then you have to go back out, get the costume again, go back in to a new PvP thing, and then kind of everything you accumulate until you die counts for the achievement. So
imagine how tough that was before you could queue wherever you were.
Yes.
Back in the day, you used to have to talk to somebody to queue into a battleground. Boy, was that fun.
But they're in all the major cities, right?
Yeah, and I think like you need like a snowball, and like people, the one thing I remember about WoW is that people would collect these snowballs, hoard them, and then in July they'd put them on the auction house.
yeah and I mean great. Like it's the same with the Halloween wands. Mm-hmm. Each Halloween wand gives you a different costume, So there's like a skeleton wand and a pirate wand, and they have like five charges or something like that. So people like myself included now, because I got a whole bunch of them trick-or-treating this year for those Halloween achievements. Mm-hmm. So people get those, and then like you're kind of running around randomly some other time of the year. Easter actually is really popular for the Halloween ones for whatever reason. And then you're running around, and all of a sudden you're just, you know, a skeleton or whatever. So right. It's a lot of fun, actually. I really like the implementation of what WoW does, because I mean, like, all the major cities and all the inns change. You've got a lot of achievements tied to these events. You have a boss, you have loot. What does usually change is the loot that the boss drops becomes applicable for max level people. So the loot gets better and better and better every year. Sometimes there's mounts involved, like the Halloween boss drops the Headless Horseman mount.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it's all really, really cool stuff. They go really all out for these world events. And for me, I didn't play them 5 years ago, right? So I played everything, you know, just in the last year while I've been trying to get the Long Strange Trip achievement. So... Mm-hmm. It's all new to me, and it's really, really fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I mean, I know I joke that those events have been around for a long time, but it to me, if I was still playing, it gives me an excuse to do stuff that I wouldn't normally do, like PvP and, you know, just run around doing these quests. And I'm sure Blizzard adds, like, a little bit of a flair to it every year. Those events are fun. I just...
Some of them they don't. I know people were a little bit disappointed in Brewfest because it's literally been exactly the same for the last 3 or 4 years now.
Right.
They haven't really made any big changes, and I don't even think that the boss dropped anything significantly good. So, I mean, like, I know the Hallow's End boss drops the mount, which everybody tries for, and I think the Christmas boss drops... I think it's different pets every year, and... I think the gear got an update, but Brewfest they didn't. So some of the events are up to date, some of them aren't. So, but the actual general content is the same.
Well, I mean, it's nice that you're enjoying these holiday events, because I certainly enjoyed them when I played, and I think they're nice in every MMO. I mean, it's really nice to just have an excuse to do some fun. I mean, it's really the theme of this episode. It's really nice to just have some fun and do, like, holiday-themed gaming, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really enjoying Animal Crossing, running around in the snow and hearing, like, the crunch under your boots. Like, I was getting into it. Like, I actually went and bought, like, you know, an ugly sweater and, like, snow pants and boots. And I got a Santa hat and... yeah, Quota never more wants you to join her town so she can give you some special items, including
Yay.
Her little Santa hat and maybe possibly some Zelda items. I was in her town. Ooh. She's got stuff all over. She doesn't have any food.
I have the Santa hat and I have the Santa pants. I was just waiting to get the Santa jacket, which hasn't shown up in my store yet. So
I have Santa boots and the Santa hat, but I don't have the Santa jacket yet.
Maybe they're saving it. Maybe it's not there yet.
Maybe. Or... we can combine our efforts and be Super Santa. You can have my boots, and then you can walk around with your Santa hat on, and you can pretend to be Santa and get people to give us their most wanted items, and then we exploit that. Like, Riff and Raph tell us they want, like, polka dot shorts for Christmas. I don't know. It's a Nintendo game. And we use that against them. No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll feel any social.
What is wrong with you? I don't know. I don't even know.
I don't know. Animal Crossing. Let's just stop playing. It's no fun.
Yeah. I'm done with that game. Stupid game. yeah. So I think that's pretty much everything that we've been playing that's holiday themed. Mm-hmm. Except for, I don't know. Have you been playing the Steam Winter Sale game? Because I've been playing the Steam Winter Sale game.
I haven't bought anything yet, but it's early. There's only
2 days.
I bought
a Christmas present yesterday. Ooh. On the Steam store.
That's true. You know, I can't remember what show I was on, but I said this already. We're not fishing for gifts, but the Steam Winter Sale is a wonderful place to hoard digital items to give to your friends. And I know I've used it in the past. You know, I have my gaming buddies that I was playing with last weekend. You know, I usually don't bother buying a physical gift. I'll buy a 4-pack and spread the love, you know.
Yeah,
it's so easy to just send them a gift or send somebody a gift on Steam, and the deals are outrageous. So people don't, like, well, imagine this, you know, giving me a deal before Christmas so I can buy more great stuff for my friends. I mean, Steam, mm-hmm. Steam's got it. Screw this Absolutely. Boxing Day nonsense. Come on.
Yeah, so actually I ended up, and I mean, the person I'm giving it to is already, I think, knows what's coming. Mm. But I texted him yesterday and I was like, so how much do you really want to sit on the couch when you play a certain game? Because just so you know, there's something going on Steam. And it's just like the deals are ridiculous. Like mm-hmm. the title that I ended up picking up, I got for $25 on, oh my God, it's snowing, on my Steam winter sale.
Yeah.
I have it open on my phone and I was scrolling through and I guess it's like a screensaver and it just started snowing. I thought there was something on my phone. I was about to wipe it off and I was like, no, wait, that's moving. What's happening? Oh, best podcast ever.
We're all a little flustered. It's Christmas.
You're very true. But anyways, yeah, so I was just like, I was looking for a copy of the game and GameStop, I guess, or EB, whatever, had the game for $55 used or $60 new because it's a fairly new title. And then so I was like, oh, Steam Winter Sale, I'm just going to go see. And the exact same title is available for PC through Steam for $25. And I was just like, oh my God, like this is ridiculous. And I mean, like Bioshock Infinite, $10. $10. Dishonored, $7.50. Like crazy, crazy title. Yeah. It's actually cheaper to get Dishonored than it is to get the Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Stanley Parable.
In a good way.
No, yeah, no. Steam is amazing. And I love, we didn't get this with the autumn sale, but again, with the winter sale, like the summer sale, we got our card collecting minigame. Mm. So every $10, you get a card. And every 3 votes, you get a card.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of that. I mean, I'm not going to be honest. In the summer sale, I may or may not have bought some stuff just because I would get a card out of it. I enjoyed the games I got out of it, and I'm sure the people who partook in those games as well enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But it's just a nice little added bonus. I know it's, you know, it's stupid nonsense, but it's still fun.
Yeah. I know I've said before that I'm not going to do this, but I think I probably will, is if I see Skyrim go on any kind of big sale, the Legendary Edition, then I'll probably pick that up because I have been itching to get back into Skyrim, and I know I've unlocked everything already on the Xbox, or not everything, but I mean, back when we started the podcast, I was doing the quest to finish all the achievements, and I got within, I think, 3 of the original 50 achievements. Mm-hmm. All I had left was 3, and I can't remember exactly what they were. I think it was the collecting the Daedric artifacts I didn't complete, and there was one other one that I didn't finish. So,
I got something that'll solve it for you. Like, you don't have you. What DLC do you have? You have the first one.
I have 2. So I have the vampire one, and I have the house building one, but I don't have Dragonborn.
So my assumption is that you could probably buy the legendary version of Skyrim for the exact same amount that it would cost you to buy Dragonborn on Xbox.
That's true.
It probably won't go on sale anytime soon.
So the thing with Skyrim is that through my class at Dal, I was doing a lot of looking at different computer game engines and modeling and stuff like that. So I mean, I was looking at videos and playing around and stuff with the creation engine, which is what they built Skyrim in, and looking at videos of like people who built Morrowind but in Skyrim, and you know, all these kind of things. And the Skyrim engine on PC is just so cool looking that I'm just like, it's worth it for the graphics to pick up the PC version of Skyrim as opposed to playing the Xbox version. So
no,
I think
if I
can grab that, then that's definitely going to be high on my list. I hope it goes on sale. I think the Legendary Edition went for $30 last time in the summer sale, so I'm hoping that it goes on for, if it went on for like $15 or $20, it'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm waiting for The Novelist, which is a fairly new indie title.
Oh, I've never heard of it. What's that one?
It's similar to Gone Home in the sense that you play, you're not playing a specific character, but you're playing an entity in a house, and you're following a family of a novelist and a wife and a daughter, I believe. Mm. And you kind of get to see their story and the way they live their lives, and you can interact. And, you know, the father works on his novel and doesn't pay as much attention to his daughter, and you can kind of manipulate objects in the house to, you know, encourage the father to spend more time with his daughter, therefore creating a better family. And or you can totally tear it apart. Like, it's one of those games where you could probably be a good ghost, like Casper, a friendly ghost, or an evil ghost, like, I don't know, the guy from Poltergeist. But it's, and that's just my basic understanding of it. It could be very different, but it looks like a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm a big indie fan, and I've been on a big kick of playing like shorter, different experiences of games, you know, and I like to mix it up. But man, I got to beat Linked Between Worlds this holiday season. That's my goal. I mean, before we have the game of the year talk, I need to make sure that that thing is, you know, where it sits on that list, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's been up there for a lot of, it's gotten game of the year at a couple places already.
It's definitely an experience. It's a lot of fun. So yeah. I'm looking forward to beating that too. I've saved my first stage, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm making my way. It's going slowly, but I'm making my way through. Some of those boss battles are tough. But yeah. Anyway, that's not Christmas related.
No, but we are playing it on Christmas.
No, that's true. That's true. So I think that pretty much wraps up our show. Ryan, do you have any other Christmas related games that you've been playing?
No, to be honest, this week has been just so quick that it was Thursday and I'm like, I didn't play any Christmas games besides Tiny Tower. Like, frig. So I think this weekend, I'm probably going to dive in and get in the Christmas spirit, because we have an ice storm in Ontario right now.
That we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that pretty much does it for the show. We should tell everybody, first of all, that we really appreciate your continued support, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghead Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. We also appreciate the support of Slash Loot. So if you guys want to pick up a t-shirt with the Gamers In logo, there are also t-shirts from all of your favorite podcasts, including The Morning Stream, The Angry Chicken, Zombies Get My Podcast, all of those. So head on over to SlashLoot.com and see what they've got. I think that pretty much does it. We do have a show probably on New Year's Eve where we are going to be potentially doing it live and in person.
Mm-hmm. In the other room.
Exciting. Yes. So, you guys should watch our Twitter feeds for that. Don't know the timing for sure, but we're very much hoping to do our Game of the Year talk on New Year's Eve. So,
oh, man, that'll be epic.
Yeah, so we are going to be delaying our show, which should be falling on Friday the 27th. Look for that to happen on New Year's Eve instead. So, or if not, then we'll do it on the 3rd. But one way or another, you'll be getting a show next week, not this week, because, you know, we get vacation too.
That we do.
Every once in a while. if you have your favorite Christmas game or Christmas gaming experience, please send us an email. You can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com, or you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, AMOVE Radio, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer, Ryan at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Or actually, tune in on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas and happy
Merry
holidays.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, everyone.